Tremendous, tremendous. We could give an invitation after a song like that, couldn't we? How beautiful and well done. Thank you so much. I'm very proud of the young people from Indiana Baptist College. It's my privilege to teach the young men's ministerial course there. These young men are part of that class on Wednesday morning. And then it is my wife's delight and privilege to teach the Christian womanhood class there, which runs concurrent to the class that I teach. So on Wednesday morning, myself and Professor Kelly Monty, we go down and teach those courses and enjoy that. We enjoy it very much because we've been able to develop a relationship with the young people. The church family will remember that Indiana Baptist College had gone through some kind of turbulent times a while back and some difficulty, and we're in a rebuilding stage right now. And I'm happy to report as a trustee of the college that the Lord has really blessed us in this rebuilding time, and the finances are coming in as they need to, and the Lord is directing students our way, and it is exciting. And if you ever get the opportunity to visit Indiana Baptist College, it's located in Greenwood, right off of County Line Road. If you'll take Shelby Street to County Line and take a right, it's not even a quarter of a mile on the left-hand side there. Beautiful little Bible college right in the area close by, and we can minister to their students. We have that opportunity, and they to us as well tonight. And after the service, of course, there'll be a fellowship involving our teens as well as the young people from Indiana Baptist College, so you can meet the young people from our church and twist some arms, and that's what you're here for. All right, take your Bible with me and turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I want to say a word, Dr. Conley, as well. I compliment you on the tremendous job that you've done with the music program there. And you've taken the talent of the young people and you have honed that talent. Very, very beautiful. When they sang a moment ago this song, the Irish melody, help me, I'm just Be Thou My Vision, that's right. When they sang that brought back wonderful college memories. That was a song we used to close all of our prayer meeting services. The group of young men, the society, we called them there, that I was part of, we'd always sing that first verse, and that song is beautiful. And by the way, beautiful message to that song. See, those are the great hymns of the faith. The great hymns of the faith have a message and they have doctrine, okay? The hymns of the faith are not this goofy mantra business that's going on in the average church where people in a trance-like state repeat the same phraseology over and over again until people fall down on the floor. That's ridiculous. That's not hymnology, that's stupidity. And it happens all over the place. These great hymns have a tremendous amount of doctrine, and the melodies are beautiful, and just the superior writing and talent and effort, and the lives of the hymn writers back up the hymns that they wrote. And I just like the old-time music, folks, because it is that way, and I hope you like it as well. You preacher, well, I like the modern stuff. Well, hey, you're in the wrong church. Now, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 80. But there's an old-fashioned altar here. You could get right with God. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 84 tonight. Psalm 84. Boy, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Psalm 84, we'll read just the 12 verses of the psalm and then make some comment on them this evening. Psalm 84, beginning at verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How amiable, amiable. What does that mean? It means welcoming and friendly. It actually is a word from the Old Latin into the French, the word amiable, and it means friendly and welcoming. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my God, and my King and my God. Pause there for a moment. Even thine altars. The sparrow has found a house, the swallow a place where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord. Of course, this has reference to the temple that we spoke of in the morning service in Jerusalem. It has reference to that place where all Israel came to worship. But the psalmist, in his praise of the glories of the temple, the house of God, the gathering place of God's people, he points out the fact that everyone has found a niche somewhere in the house of God, that there's room for everyone, even the sparrow even the swallow. And it's interesting that he says the place for the sparrow or the swallow, the little bird that would come into the temple precincts, that place is even thine altars, O Lord. The place where the most significant transactions between earth and eternity would take place. The altars where the sacrifices were made. The altars where the wrath of God was assuaged from year to year. The altars where the blood sacrifice was flown for the sins of God's people. The psalmist said that in those altars, those holy places, those places of awesome judgment against sin, those places where the cruelness and the ugliness and the vileness of sin was most clearly displayed in the sacrifice of blood, even in that place of great judgment, of great awe, of great fearsomeness, the sparrows found a house, the swallows found a place to nest, even thine altars. It tells me something tonight about the house of God, the place where God's people dwell. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, a desert area, a waste howling wilderness, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts, now speaking of the temple precincts, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 84 is above all else a psalm of reverent praise for the house of God, the temple, the place of worship. It is a song that commemorates a place in Israel's life as a nation that was the most vital place on earth. We spoke this morning of the temple of God that is our body. Tonight we're going to speak of the place of the temple. And if you will allow me this evening, we're going to take the characteristics of the temple, the place where the congregation of Israel worshiped, the place where national Israel recognized their God and practiced their religion. We're going to take that place and liken it this evening to the local church. Now remember this morning, and I purposely placed these messages back to back for emphasis, remember this morning that we said that the temple of God is the individual, not a church building per se. But when the individuals who are saved gather together, where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, there I am in the midst of them. When we come together for corporate worship in church, whether we're gathering together in a building, an auditorium like this, whether we gather together outside somewhere in a pine thicket, by the way, there are people today that because of persecution worship in fear in the out of doors in distant places. I'll never forget, years ago they had a film. This was prior to Glasnost and Perestroika and Gorbachev. But by the way, if you're under the impression that there is complete religious liberty in the former Soviet Union and Russia, you are wrong about that. Vladimir Putin is a man to be feared. The leadership of Russia is very, very unstable. They have not lost their communistic bent, and they feel very bitter that they were defeated by Ronald Reagan. By the way, thank God for Ronald Reagan. I wish the people that are so busily invoking his name, you know where I'm going with this. Boy, invoking that man's name. I wish the people who are so busy invoking his name would start to live up to some of his principles. I was amazed. Someone for my birthday bought me a copy. I love a good book, folks. I tell you, it's driving my family crazy. They tell me they're going to move out of the house if I get another book. There's no more room for them. But I love a good book. Someone for my birthday got me a copy of the Reagan Diaries. It's about this thick, a hardback book about this thick. The Reagan Diaries. President Reagan was the only president in American history, up at least until that point of time, who kept a daily diary. He never missed a day of entry in his diary except when he was in the hospital. Only president to do so. Others had kept journals, but they were kind of sporadic. Reagan kept a daily diary, and I've just begun reading from the point of his inauguration. I'm only really within the first month of his presidency when he was first elected. And you know what I found interesting about Reagan? His principles. He did not like the spread of communism in South America nor in the Caribbean. He referred to the Caribbean Sea as the Red Sea because of Cuba. And he did not like the spread of communism. And he said that he wanted America to be a place of refuge for political persecuted people, persecuted or prisoners who were coming over. It would be fine for them to come if they had been sent away from their country because of political reasons. But in one of his entries, he said this. He said, it is unfortunate because a boatload of refugees has arrived on our shores in Florida. And he said, because they are not here based upon political persecution, but they are only here seeking a better life, he said, they are violating our laws and they will have to be turned back. By the way, folks, the laws haven't changed. What has changed is the attitudes. What has changed is the idea that we have to reform the whole, not only of America, but of North America and the Western Hemisphere. But I'm not going to get off on that because that will take me off the whole sermon topic tonight. I don't even know how we got where we got. The importance of the temple and the tabernacle. These were the places where Israel met for worship, for her spiritual life. We gather together, the Holy Spirit is in those of us who are believers in Christ. Where two or three are gathered together, there Jesus is in the midst. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the Lord Jesus himself walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Those are the churches. So the Lord is present in his church. Tonight I'm going to take Psalm 84, the characteristics of the house of worship for Israel, and I'm going to apply them tonight to the church, the local church, and how the church should reflect the same concept, the same characteristics that were praiseworthy by the psalmist of the temple of God. They worship Jehovah God in the temple. In the church we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, come in the flesh. Now what was Israel's temple like? Look at verse number 1, because the psalmist begins his beautiful song of praise by saying these words, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Now pause there for a moment. O Lord of hosts. I said at the introduction that the word amiable means friendly or welcoming. It carries with it the idea of kindness. But it is interesting, in the very sentence that tells us that the Lord's place of worship should be amiable, friendly and kind, the name of the Lord that is given is O Lord of Hosts. The name Lord of Hosts is the warrior title for our God. When God goes into battle, it is the Lord of hosts who is on our side. It is the Lord of hosts who defeats our enemy. And so in the same verse, we have the concept of friendliness and kindness and openness and welcoming in the temple of God, combined with the concept of the warrior name of God, the Lord of hosts. You say, preacher, how in the world do you reconcile those two seemingly different ideas? Here it is. The temple of the living God in the Old Testament was a place of reconciliation for man who was at enmity with God. God will ultimately defeat his enemies. If you doubt me on that, join us on Wednesday night as we look at our great prophecy of the Bible series. God will ultimately defeat his enemies. But it is not the pleasure of the Lord that his enemies will perish, but that they will come to reconciliation. And so in the temple, the house of God, the people of God are welcoming, warm, and friendly, but they never back down from the truth. You say, preacher, what does it mean to Faith Baptist Church tonight? Here's what it means. That everyone who's a part of this church has a responsibility to make this place of worship amiable, friendly, warm, embracing, loving. No matter who comes and what they look like, this should be a friendly and amiable place Because once they get here, they're going to hear preaching about the Lord God of hosts and His judgment on sin. Do you know how you can help me, church? Listen carefully. We live in a society that is very afraid of an absolute message. Very afraid of that. In fact, as long as you don't say much, you can say anything you want. But as soon as you say something with substance to it, people begin to think, he's a fanatic. He's a dictator. He's a nut. He's a Bible thumper. Do you know how you can help me? I have to be a nut. Have to be. Can't help it. I have to preach the truth to a society that doesn't want to hear the truth. I have to preach absolutes to a society that now has been weaned on the concept that it doesn't matter, that everything is subjective. There is no more objectivity. I have to do that if I'm to preach the Word of God. Sometimes, like this morning, I have to get right down into the dirt and meddle around with people's lives. I have to present to them the warrior God who will judge sin, because that is the God presented in the Bible. Here's your job, church family. Make the church amiable. In other words, well, I'm up behind the pulpit preaching hellfire and brimstone, laying into sin, talking about their beer-drinking ways and their fornicating ways. And while I'm up in the pulpit laying into it and tearing into it like we did this morning, there's some visitor that says, oh, I didn't know this was like this. I didn't even know churches like this existed anymore. And those visitors start to get nervous. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be amiable. You ever think about that? You're supposed to make up for me. See, you're supposed to love them so much that your friendliness is irresistible, and I'm supposed to push them right to the edge. Someone asked me a while back, I think I explained this, Brother Morris's position on staff. Pastor Lopez is outreach director. It's his job to get people to come here. Pastor Brother Morris is in-reach director. It's his job to keep people coming here. By the way, if you're slack and start missing services, he's going to be all over you like white on rice, okay? That is his job. And so Pastor Lopez brings them in. Brother Morris keeps them in. And you say, Brother Monty, what do? It's my job to preach so hard that I push them right to the edge of leaving. That's my job. And then he has to pull them back in. And hopefully in the process, somebody gets right with God. Now, what am I saying? The Lord's church should be such a warm, welcoming, and friendly place that when the hard truth of God's judgment is preached, people understand that the pastor is preaching fervently the truth and that this is indeed a place of love. God's house reflects both His love and His truth, and everyone is responsible for this. How amiable are thy tabernacles. When people come into this building, they should have a warm handshake. They should have a greeting. Some say, oh, Pastor, the church has grown so fast, I don't know everybody's name. Neither do I. And do you know what I found is the best way to find out what their name is? Walk up to them and say, hi, what's your name? Or, hi, have I met you before? I used to do this thing where I'd say, now, how do you pronounce your last name again? And then they'd say, Smith. That blew my cover every time. I quit doing that. I just stopped with that altogether. But the church is to be an amiable place, a friendly place. The psalmist prays the tabernacle. Here, by the way, I think about the temple in Jerusalem. Several times per year, the young men and sometimes the families would have to go up to worship at the temple. That was a place of family reunion. It was a place where people maybe who hadn't seen each other for some time or were separated by some geographical distance, they'd gather together, maybe at the Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of the Tabernacles. They'd gather together. Feast of Tabernacles was like a camp out for the guys. Wonderful time. Guys would gather together, and they'd all gather together. There was a purpose in their worship, but there was also that warmth and that fellowship. It was amiable. It was a social time. It was a time that people looked forward to. And the psalmist said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord God of hosts. Not only amiable or friendly, but number two, they were attractive and desirable. The temple was attractive and desirable, so should the church be. Look at verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. As I mentioned this morning, the physical campus, the campus of the Old Testament temple and tabernacle both were very, very beautiful. We're not speaking primarily of the physical building, though I think a church should do its best to make a good presentation to honor and glorify the Lord. But the psalmist describes in verse 2 his soul longing and even fainting, greatly desiring to be present in the place of worship. I wonder about you tonight. Is that how you feel about the local assembly that the Lord has called you to? It was funny a few weeks ago when I was so ill. And a number of you folks said, "Preacher, you know, you should have stayed home." Remember that Sunday where I could not talk, and then Sunday night I was hallucinating? Do you remember all that? Sure you do. And you're saying that, you weren't saying, "Preacher, you should have stayed home, you spread it to the rest of us." No, you didn't say that. You thought that. Okay, but you didn't say that. But you were saying, "Oh, Pastor, you know, you should stay home, you should be in bed, you should just rest and not worry about being here." Do you know what? Do you know that's really hard for me? Because it's hard for me to not be at the place where I love. You want to know what? Sunday is my absolute favorite day of the week. Now, it's exhausting, but I love to gather together and have all the friends and the family, which is Faith Baptist Church, gather together here. And my soul longs for that. And the other day when I was sick and contemplating staying home, I said, "You know, I don't want to just lay around here feeling sorry for myself, especially with no one around the house to help me." You know what I'm saying? And it's not fun to feel sorry for yourself if you can't make others miserable with you. And so I thought, you know, I want to go to church. And I thought to myself how much I love and long for on a regular basis the fellowship of God's people in church. That is exactly what the psalmist said, the temple is like. He said it's desirable not only to fellowship with God's people, but to fellowship with God Himself. "My flesh crieth out for the living God." Say, do you come to church with the attitude that when you come, the Spirit of God is going to take the Word of God and speak to your heart and fellowship directly with you? But that's a wonderful thing. That makes the church a place where earth and heaven meet. It is desirable. Look at verse number 3 quickly, if you will, with me. "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God, my King and my God." Number 3, the church is a place that is inclusive. It's inclusive. Now, not in the modern sense of the word. You cannot be a member of this church unless you've been born again by the Spirit of God and baptized in deep water. That's the rules. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? But you know, the sparrow and the swallow are seemingly insignificant, and yet they found at the very altars of God a place to feel at home. It's a strange thing that happens around here sometimes, folk, and I want all of us to be alert to this. You know, there are people that come into our church that sometimes sit by themselves. They don't appear to have any family connections in the church. They don't appear to know anybody. We had at least 3 people like that in the services this morning, kind of sitting by themselves. We had a man come, I think it was last Wednesday night. He was a truck driver. Sometimes he gets into this area, and he drove in and just parked in the lot and came into Wednesday night service. These folks come in, and maybe they don't appear to be attached to anyone else. And folks, may I say this? It doesn't matter who they are, and it doesn't matter how they're dressed, and it doesn't matter what they look like, okay? We're to embrace them regardless. The sparrow and the swallow finds a place at the very altars of God. Do you know, well, that is a beautiful picture of who God is. The Bible says of Jesus that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when people come into this church, and some of them you can see by the look on their face that they're carrying a burden, and they're here looking for something. And for some of them, it might be the very last place that they're going to go to find any hope. It might be this place right here, and that handshake, and that warmth, and that friendliness, and that welcoming attitude. And by the way, the attitude that says, "Everybody's important." "Oh, Pastor, you know, I just come to church because I've just got to be fed. Feed me, feed me, feed me." You need a diet. Would you quit worrying about yourself and find that person that comes to this church by themselves, and maybe they're a first-time visitor, and you want, well, you know, I'm too busy. I'm the pastor. I got to gossip with Susie Q and tell her the latest. How ridiculous. When there's people who walk through the doors of this church every Sunday with a broken heart, and you can see it on their face, there are not enough pastors to get to all of them. During greeting time, I'm tripping over people because I've scanned the audience on Sunday morning, and I'm tripping over people to try to get to that person that looks lonely or that looks on the edge or that looks like they need some help. Hey, church members, let's give the pastoral staff a little bit of help and say, rather than standing around worrying so much about myself, I'm going to go out and find that person and shake their hand, greet them, get to know them, and make sure that they know how glad I am that they've come here. Let me tell you something about some places today. When I was a kid, we used to go to some cabins up north on the north shore of Lake Superior, Split Rock Cabins, still a wonderful place to vacation. And the eaves, the cabins were built a long time ago, probably in the early 1900s, and so they have eaves that are open that come off of the sides of the house. And there are certain kinds of birds, sparrows and others, that will build a nest. And the sparrows sometimes will build a nest with mud. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And they'll tend to get mud all up in the eaves. they'll nest up there in the eaves. Interesting, the owners of the resort never tried to get rid of the sparrows. Never tried to do that. And the swallows. They never tried to get rid of those birds. He said, why, preacher? They get mud all over the place. Because the swallow especially will eat all the bugs. And let me tell you something about Minnesota. It's a bug buffet, okay? If you've never been there in the summertime, it's remarkable how wicked the bugs are in that place. And so they'd let them stay there. But in other places where they were a nuisance, they put up all kinds of little, metal spiny things to keep the sparrows. You've seen this. To keep the sparrows and the swallows from nesting there. Little sticky metal things. Why? Because in some places they view the swallows and the sparrows as a nuisance. And you'd almost think that would be true in the temple of God, because after all, this is the temple. This is the holy place. This is the altar. This is the place where we approach to God. Yet the psalmist said the sparrow is there, and the swallow has found a place for a nest, right at the altar of the living God. You know what that tells me? That tells me we better be careful who we see as a bother. Every Sunday we have bus kids come into this church, don't we? Oh, pastor, you're going to mess the place up. Oh, you would not believe how unruly and out of control. They just don't seem like they fit here. Neither does the swallow. Neither does the sparrow seem like it fits. But the psalmist, under divine inspiration of the Spirit of God, the psalmist said that which is the most insignificant, that which could almost be regarded as a pest, has found a place of honor in the very temple of God, even thine altars, O Lord God of hosts. It tells me there is no one insignificant in this world. It tells me that the least person among us, and by the way, we're so shallow to think that we're better than somebody else. Well, I have a better education. How ridiculous. You are an educated sinner, and probably an educated fool, if you value your education that high. Well, Pastor, I come from a very fine family and a fine pedigree, and I cannot abide those of the lower classes. How ridiculous are you? It is that kind of pride that I think maybe the Lord will hold you over the fires of hell and singe your hair for just a second before He lets you in the pearly gate. It is a pitiful, pitiful thing when the Lord's church looks at anyone and says they don't belong. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Remember, when Jesus was in the house of the Pharisee, and other Pharisees and the friends of this religious leader, this pompous religious leader, were gathered together in his house to speak to Jesus, and quite uncomfortably, a woman burst into the home who was immediately recognized by the crowd there as a woman of the street. You remember this? And you remember how that woman knelt down and anointed the feet of Jesus. in an act of worship that Jesus did not rebuke, but rather praised. All those present felt that this woman of the street needed to be cast out. She had no place here. Jesus said she's come in anointing, and she has a place. Church family, please hear me tonight. Everyone has a place. The people who come here have a need. It's interesting. I'll never get to the end of this message. Don't worry about that. It's interesting. The swallow hath found her the house and a nest. You know what a church is for some folks? It's their house and their nest. I feel very at home in my house. I love to go home. I love to put up my feet in my easy chair near the fireplace. I love on a cold night to build a big wood fire in the fireplace. It's an open fireplace. It doesn't have any kind of screen of glass, you know, to keep you from the reality of the fire. It's really kind of dangerous when you think about it. It's open right there, and sometimes the wind blows down the flue the wrong way, and a little puff of smoke comes into the house, and occasionally, once in a while, the fire alarms do go off, you know, and it gets real bad. And my wife walks in the room and says, I can't even see in here. That's when things are really not working right with the old fireplace. But I'm never, never, ever in my life more comfortable than when I'm sitting in front of my little fieldstone hearth at home and in my easy chair. And maybe it's a Saturday night and Lawrence Welk is on television or something. And I never feel more comfortable or at home than in any place, because that is my home. But do you know where, number two, I feel the most at home? Right here in this church. Right here with my friends and family at this church. There are some folks that don't know what it is to have a home, as I've described, with peace and joy and comfort and just all of the things we think about as home. And so their home literally becomes the church of God. And right here in this place, they find a sanctuary. And some of those folks, they're here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They come on Saturday visitation. They find every excuse they possibly can to be in this building. Some of them come during the day when the pastors are working, and they come up with projects and things to work on. Jim, I'm about to charge you rent. and some of them, they're working on things, and they're just giving their life here, and there's no place where they feel more warm and welcome and happiness than the Lord's church. I think that's a wonderful thing when people make it their home. Folks, here's what I'm talking about tonight. It's not just a place where we gather to sing or to hear preaching. It is a place where we gather and meet with God, and where every one of us should feel most at home. And when those folks come through the doors, let's see, there was a couple sitting right over here this morning. There was a man way in the back, far back pew, farthest back pew, all the way to the edge. There was another man farthest, kind of second to the back pew right over there. That's three people that I spotted this morning. Just seemed to me, and I went to greet each one of them, it just seemed to me they needed a place to feel at home. This should be the place. Folks, how can we make it that way? Every one of us can make it that way if we quit focusing on our own problems. And I'll say this and I'm done. You focus on your own troubles and they're going to be with you forever. Forever. Some of us have enshrined our personal problems so in our lives that we wouldn't give them up if we could. For some of us, our troubles is all we have to talk about and think about. For some of us, if our problem were taken away, we'd get bored. We have nothing else to worry about. If you want to be able to put those troubles behind you, why don't you do this? Find somebody else who looks a little lonely, who looks like they need to find a home in the house of God, even the altars of God. Find somebody else like that and just embrace them. Take their burden as your own. Set your little tiny thing aside and realize that somebody else has a huge burden. Take that upon yourself as your own and show them the truth that the psalmist gives us. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We only got partly through the message, but Lord, I pray you'll help us to see how desirable is the place where God's people gather to worship. And Father, we love to come here. And Lord, many of us, this is a place where we come unfailingly, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night, sometimes during the week. God, we come here. It's a place of service to us. It is a place where we feel so greatly at home. But Father, there are folks that come to visit into our auditorium from here and there. Maybe they come only a couple times, some of them only once, thinking that perhaps this is where they'll find hope. Father, help them to find this an amiable place, a friendly place, a place that is outstretched with a burden and desire to tell them the truth of Scripture, but to love them to the Savior. Make us a people that adorn the house of God to make it the most attractive locality in Hendricks County. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessing. We pray now you'll bless our invitation time in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.